You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is Thursday, April 5th, 2018, and I am John B. from gangrenenation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. You can do so on iTunes or Spotify. And if you enjoy this show, please leave it a good review in iTunes. We certainly appreciate those who have done so already, and we thank those who will do so in the future. It is Thursday, so we will do our weekly mailbag show. These were questions submitted in the comment section of gangrenenation.com. And our first question deals with a concern many Jets fans have. And the question is, do you think any teams have a chance to move in front of the Jets? Anyone that you see would trade the farm for one or two? I will say this, and I'm smart enough and I've been around long enough to know that you can never, ever rule anything out, so I'm not going to speak in absolutes, but I would be absolutely floored if the Cleveland Browns traded out of the first pick, traded down. I think that's a team that's clearly in need of a quarterback, you know, one of only two teams in NFL history to lose all 16 games in a season. They're coming off a historically bad season. And the other thing you remember is they were lucky to not lose 16 games the year before. Obviously, new management. And one of the things that you tend to notice when new management comes in to an NFL front office is they tend to do the opposite of what the old management does. And the Browns have been quite active trading down in recent years. And that's true in all portions of the draft, but it's especially been true in the first round, where two straight years they've traded down and helped facilitate a deal that's allowed another team to get a franchise quarterback. 2 years ago, they traded the pick that turned into Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, and last year they traded the pick that turned into Deshaun Watson in Houston. And I think when your fan base notices that you're not winning any games and you've helped give other teams franchise quarterbacks when you could have just taken one yourself, it creates a lot of negativity around your team. So I think that will probably factor into it. But more than that, I just think it's the right move for Cleveland to take a quarterback. I think that's just the way it goes. I think Cleveland kind of has to just take a quarterback because of where they are. They were 0-16 last year and they don't have a quarterback. They're starting from square one. What's the first thing you get? What's the first piece you acquire to start building your franchise? It's the quarterback. When you have nothing, that's where you go immediately. You get the quarterback, and they have their pick of the litter. And certainly, the Jets are picking in front of them, so they can't guarantee themselves. And they can't guarantee themselves if they do not pick a quarterback at one, or if they trade down. And if they trade the pick away, then they're essentially guaranteed to get the third quarterback in this draft, and possibly the fourth. So I don't think there's any way the Browns are trading down. I think the Browns are taking a quarterback at one. Now, will a team trade up with the Giants? Now, a lot of people seem to believe that the Giants are either taking a quarterback or trading that pick, and I'm not so certain of that. I think that if you listen to the Giants, and it's dangerous to listen to teams at this time of the year because teams will put up smoke screens, but you get the sense the Giants think that they are not that far away, and I'm not sure I agree with it. Now, if you're a Giants fan, first of all, if you're a Giants fan, I appreciate you listening to a Jets podcast. Take solace, because I never get the Giants right. Whenever I think the Giants are going to be good, they stink. And whenever I think the Giants are going to stink, they're good. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure I agree with the Giants. But it seems like the Giants believe that they're not that far away, which means that if you think you're not that far away and you have the chance to add the second best player in the draft, the best non-quarterback, maybe you do that. So I'm not convinced that the Giants are trading that pick. And I think the issue that another team would have to trade up is who's in the same neighborhood that will still allow the Giants to have one of the elite players in this draft. You know, all the buzz is around the Buffalo Bills. Do the Giants really want to move out of the top 10, though? There's a big cost with moving that far down. They can get a lot of picks. They can add quite a bit of draft capital. But are they going to cost themselves the type of player they want, a player of the caliber that they want? I don't know. So I think that it's quite plausible the Giants just keep that pick and don't take a quarterback. And I know a lot of people disagree with that. I think the issue for trading up, again, is that is just what I said, is the Bills are the team all the smart money's on, but does anybody really want to move that far down? I'm not sure. I think that the most likely scenario for the Bills is that they're going to get the fourth or fifth quarterback in this draft. I don't think that they're maybe they just sell the farm, they make the Giants an offer they can't refuse, but I think they're going to have a tough time moving up that high. I know they moved up a little bit in one of the trades that they made. They acquired a higher pick, but I'm still not sure they're close enough. So I think that if you're looking at a team, maybe Denver would be the team to be worried about if John Elway and the Broncos want to move up, because they still would be, you know, top five range for the Giants. So I guess that would probably be the team you'd be worried about making a deal with the Giants, but we'll see. I'm not totally sold that the Giants are trading this pick. I don't think there's any way that the Browns are trading the pick, but the bad news with the Browns is that they're virtually guaranteed to draft a quarterback. Our next question: what position do you feel best and worst about at this point in the offseason? That's a really good question. I think if I was asked which position do I feel best about, the answer would probably be running back. I think the Jets have a really solid group at that spot. You have Bilal Powell, who, you know, at some point we just need to come to grips with the fact that Powell's a really good back. He's a guy who's constantly been downplayed his whole career, and I'll admit his first couple of years I wasn't that impressed by him, but all he does is, when he gets an opportunity, is produce. And for whatever reason, the Jets just don't give him the type of opportunity, haven't over the course of his career given him the type of opportunities that he's probably deserved. They keep bringing in guys to replace him. They keep bringing in guys to take carries from him. But all that happens when he gets the ball is produce. You know, all he does is do his job. They brought in Isaiah Crowell, who I think could be a really solid addition, and Elijah McGuire, who was up last year. He was down last year. I mean, he had his moments. He had his bad moments, but I think he flashed some skills last year. So I think that this is a really solid group, and this is a group that I would not mind going to battle with. And in a different world, I love a lot of the backs in this year's draft class. I think having traded the 2 second-round picks makes it much less likely that the Jets are going to be drafting a running back this year. Maybe if somebody falls to the third round, you'd consider it. But even without those guys, and there are guys who I really like, I'm not sure that Jets are in bad shape at running back. I think that they have a solid core. They have three guys who could be pretty good. I'm not sure there's, you know, a game-changing type back, but how many game-changing type backs are still around in the NFL? The running back has become a much more specialized position. The true three-down backs are very rare, and those are the best backs in the NFL. I don't think you can say running back is a weakness, so I'd say that's the position I feel best about. In terms of position I feel worst about, I'm going with edge rusher. And here's the reason I'm going with edge rusher, is that it's the most important position that the Jets have virtually no chance of finding a player for. You look at quarterback, quarterback's a bigger need, but the Jets actually have a pretty good chance of getting a quarterback this year because they have the third pick in the draft. We know they're taking a quarterback, and we know they're taking a quarterback who's a pretty good prospect. So Jets at least have a shot there, and they have Teddy Bridgewater too, so I feel better about the Jets' chances at quarterback. When you look at edge rusher, I think edge rusher is the second most position on almost any football team. You want a guy, that's how most teams generate their pass rush. And I don't see any chance the Jets get a good edge rusher. You know, those guys just aren't available in free agency. They never are, because like quarterbacks, if you have a really good one, you never let them hit the market because it's that important, it's that valuable. So there was really no opportunity for the Jets to do it in free agency. The really good guys, the DeMarcus Lawrences, the Ziggy Ansahs, they didn't hit the market this year, and there's a reason they were franchised. And, of course, that's logical for their teams. Now you look in the draft, well, the Jets are using that first-round pick at quarterback, and they don't have a second-round pick. They have almost no chance to bring a guy in, because you go into the third round and deeper, those guys almost never contribute as rookie. You are very lucky if you find a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick who's ready to step in and be great as a rookie, because, as I've said many times, as much as we get on the league for picks that don't pan out, for players who fall, by and large, the league gets it right. The guys who should go in the first round go in the first round, and the guys who don't, don't. So I just don't see the path where the Jets are going to get a guy. Maybe they get a guy a little later on who eventually turns into a good player, but I don't think you can ask that guy to come in and be great as a rookie. I don't think it's a plausible scenario. It's nothing you can count on. It's something you're hoping for, and you'd gladly take it if it did happen, and there are exceptions, but I just don't think it's I don't think it's viable for the Jets to have a quality edge rusher next year, and I don't think there's a guy on the roster who I believe can develop into a quality edge rusher. I think Maldon has pretty much squandered every opportunity he's had. He's shown you that he's a guy who's going to be lucky to be on this roster this year. You look at Jenkins. I like Jenkins, but Jenkins is not the big-time edge rusher that you need. So I think plenty of question marks at edge rusher and very few opportunities for solutions. Next question. Ever since Rex became the head coach, the Jets have not had a real defensive coordinator, and the offensive coordinator has been left to sink or swim on his own, and they have sunk. Will this year be any different? Well, I think the thing that would give you optimism is the fact that the Jets are going to be bringing in a new quarterback. And I think the biggest reason the offensive coordinators have sunk, and look, I'm not going to defend Brian Schottenheimer. I'm not going to defend Tony Sperano. I mean, Jets have not had great offensive coordinators in here, but the biggest reason they've sunk is they haven't had good quarterbacks. You know, Sanchez, Geno Smith, Fitzpatrick, McCown. This is not exactly a great collection of quarterbacks the Jets have had in the building over the last decade. So I think you have the opportunity here to finally figure this position out. And if you do figure out the quarterback position, if you bring in a high-end prospect, then your offense has a chance to swim. Now, in terms of, you know, is it a problem that the Jets keeps hiring these defensive-minded head coaches? It's something people talk about all the time, and I don't see the evidence that hiring a defensive coach is a terrible idea. Every coach, I think, brings a bunch of assets and a bunch of weaknesses. There are things every head coach you hire brings to the table, and there are things he needs his staff to fill in, things that he's not so good at, and that's why hiring assistants is so important, is that those guys are essentially there to fill in the gaps that you don't have. Now, the Jets have brought in two straight defensive-minded head coaches, and what they bring to the table, hopefully, is defensive acumen. In some cases, it's played out that way. In other cases, it hasn't. But when you bring in a defensive coach, then his offensive hires become substantially more important. Is this a bad idea because it hasn't worked for the Jets? Should teams go for offensive-minded head coaches? Well, New England has a defensive-minded head coach, a guy who worked mostly on the defensive side of the ball. How's their offense? Pittsburgh hired a guy who was a defensive coordinator. They have a bad offense. Seattle defensive head coach Pete Carroll. Did they have trouble developing a quarterback? You know, it's not really about which side of the ball you worked on. Now, if you have a guy like Sean McVay, who, and I will say this about Sean McVay, is we got to be very careful, because I've seen a lot of guys go and light it up the first year and then do nothing after that. And so McVay is a guy who needs to do more before I think he's being crowned to the next Vince Lombardi a little early, but he's a guy off to a very good start. He brings offensive acumen to the table. That's an asset, certainly, but his offensive acumen would not matter if he didn't bring other aspects to the table last year, one of which was hiring a guy who could run the side of the ball he's not familiar with, Wade Phillips, who was as good as any defensive coordinator out there. To me, that's more impressive to me when it comes to being a head coach than what McVay brings to the offensive side of the ball. It's finding a guy who fills in the gaps, fills in your weaknesses. So I don't think it's necessarily a problem. I think ultimately, though, it all comes down to the quarterback. Do you have a quarterback? Jets haven't had a quarterback in a long time, and I think that's the biggest reason the offensive coordinators have failed. I don't think it's so much that the Jets have just left an offensive coordinator to sink or swim. So I think there is some room for optimism there. Next question. Assume Darnold and Rosen go 1-2 and the Jets are on the board with the third pick. I'm convinced this will happen whether the Giants pick Rosen themselves or trade down for a buttload of picks. Assume further the Jets are strictly prohibited from trading down and from choosing a non-quarterback. So Allen, Mayfield, and Jackson are the only options. Which one do you draft for the Jets and why? Only the Jets could have these type of rules passed as the draft is happening. I'm just joking. I personally, if it was me, I'd take Lamar Jackson, because I think he's the most polished passer of these three. I really like Jackson. I think he's a much more developed passer than people give him credit for. I think he's much more advanced reading defenses than people give him credit for. So I'd go with Jackson, and I don't even really care about what he adds as a runner, but that certainly adds something to the table. I will say that of the three, he'd be the one guy I'd be shocked if the Jets drafted. I think they'll either draft Allen or Mayfield. I'm not sure which one. I think they both have various pluses and minuses. I'd be nervous with either guy, but I think there's potential for either guy. I think Allen has the higher ceiling and the lower floor. I think Allen's a guy who, you watch his highlights. His highlights are off the charts good. I mean, there are plays where he looks like Aaron Rodgers. The problem is there's also plays where he looks like Mark Sanchez. And, you know, there's a wild disparity. And the thing that really scares me about Allen, which I haven't noticed until the last couple of weeks watching him, is something I missed through the whole season, is his footwork is very inconsistent. And what scares me about that is when I notice he's wildly inaccurate, which happens too frequently, it seems like there's a different problem each time with his feet. And that's something that makes me very nervous about him, because if it's just one problem, it's one consistent problem, then you can work on that problem. You can drill that into him. So that's what scares me about Allen, is that this is a guy who might be too big of a project to take that high. And when it comes to Mayfield, I don't know how well this guy's going to operate in the NFL. This guy was never really put into NFL situations. I think that offense he was in never really asked him to do a ton of the heavy lifting. I'm worried about how is he going to respond when he gets hit in the NFL. I thought the Rose Bowl was rather jarring because once he started getting hit in the second half of that game, his throws started going all over the ballpark. So I have concerns about that. And I also just have general concerns about I'm not sure how much upside he has. I got to be honest with you. I watched this guy, and when I watched him in college, the guy he reminded me of most is Tyrod Taylor, who is a solid quarterback, but is he a guy you want to build around? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I see the Drew Brees. I think there's a chance he gets to Drew Brees, but I'm concerned that maybe his ceiling is Tyrod, and maybe I'm wrong on that. I mean, look, I'm in the minority on that. I would take Jackson. I don't think there are many people who would agree with me, so maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong on that one. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I think that the odds of the Jets actually taking Jackson are quite small, however. Next question. Do we know if the Jets are spending serious time looking at quarterbacks other than Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, and Allen? We don't. I don't think we've heard much on that front. I think the Jets are dedicating most of their time to the quarterbacks at the top of the draft, which makes sense because the Jets are taking one of those guys. That's why you trade up to three. It's because you like those guys better than the second-round prospects. And for whatever reason, Jackson has never really emerged as a serious option early in the draft. It doesn't seem like the league is as high on him as I am. So it doesn't, you know, I think the Jets are going to maybe give cursory attention to some of these other guys. Maybe you'll hear they come in for a visit, but the vast majority of the Jets' time is going to be focused on the top guys. And I think the fact they signed McCown and Bridgewater almost precludes them from drafting another quarterback. You know, I've been a big proponent of drafting two quarterbacks. I don't think the Jets are going to do that, though. I think the Jets are going to roll with McCown, Bridgewater, and whichever quarterback they draft. So I would be surprised if you heard anything about serious interest from other quarterbacks. Next question, Mayfield versus Rosen. What's your take on all the clutter surrounding Mayfield and the Jets? Smokescreen or real deal? What are your odds they take Mayfield even if Rosen is available? Well, there's real interest in Mayfield. I mean, look, you don't spend as much time with the guy if you're not interested. You know, they've went to his pro day, which is standard. They did a private workout with him. I mean, they really want to get to know him. So I think it's quite, I mean, I don't think it's a smokescreen. I'd be really surprised if it was a smokescreen. I think there's as good a chance they take him as anybody. And I think, you know, I wouldn't, if they're both on the board, would I be surprised if they took Mayfield? No, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I'd be surprised if it's Josh Rosen, Josh Allen. I would be surprised if they took Allen. If it's Rosen, Mayfield, I would not be surprised if they took Mayfield. I think, you know, part of it plays into it is personality. Is that, you know, if you think Mayfield's a star, if you think he'd be a big hit in New York, I'm not sure Allen has the personality. And I'm not sure this should come into play, but I think it always does with the New York team. But I think, you know, Mayfield, if he hits it big, could be a superstar in this town. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went with Mayfield over Rosen. I think, you know, maybe intangibles play into that a little bit. I think it's absolutely real, though. I would not be at all surprised if they took Baker Mayfield. You know, a few months ago, I speculated that maybe Mike Maccagnan had a quarterback type that he likes the big, strong-armed guys. And that's a theory, and maybe it's possible. It's a possible theory, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's a lock that Maccagnan would never take a guy who's as undersized as Mayfield if he thought he was a good fit. So I think, yeah, absolutely, the Jets could take Mayfield. Would not surprise me in the least to see that. And our last question, is drafting a pass rusher at some point in the draft a must, even if it's a late-round flyer? I don't think it's a must, but I think, you know, you talk about the later rounds. I think if you have two guys who are close, maybe one guy is a pass rusher, another guy plays a position that's less important, and you have the guys rated roughly equal, I think you take the pass rusher. I view positional value as kind of a tiebreaker for two guys that you have as equal. I think McKagan has drafted a pass rusher in the somewhere between the third and the fifth round every draft he's been with the Jets. I think that's something he believes in, so I think it will happen. Do I think it's the end of the world if they don't, though? No, because, you know, he's probably going to draft an edge rusher at the portion of the draft where the odds of the guy hitting are quite low. So I don't think it's essential. I think the Jets will, though. And that'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe. Options include iTunes and Spotify. And leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Hope you have a great Thursday. We'll be back again tomorrow to close out the week.